This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for joining the region's biggest conversation. A sunny Tuesday it is in Port Harcourt, where we're broadcasting from. My name is Anoh Ogbeviri. ASUU is on strike, has been on strike for about 5 months now, and some of their demands include the ones that have financial implications, a payment of earned academic allowance, revitalization fund, payment of withheld salaries that they say is not negotiable. And they're saying that some areas they may shift grounds, but until it's officially done, the strike continues. They're also saying they're not insensitive to the welfare of students and the anxiety of parents. It is the government that is not getting its priorities right. Education is a vital factor that should not be left to rot. So there have been several meetings over the past 6 months, but here we are, 26th July 2022. In another 2 weeks or so, it will be 6 months, straight 6 months. The kids have been home, and there seems to be no way out. So the Nigerian Labour Congress and other unions said they're going to have a solidarity protest to see if they can get the federal government to shift the words of the NLC head of information, Benson Upah, says they want to prompt the government to give in to ASUU's demands. We've had that conversation before. Is the government able to meet all of ASUU's demands? But rightly said by ASUU, they're willing to shift grounds on some. The ones that they're not willing to shift grounds on is the federal government willing and able to see to their demands. So, the federal government says you can't go on any solidarity protest or strike or whatever it is, labor, because it's illegal. The River State government also has said, labor, there's no need for you to go on strike. Our schools here are in, the state institutions, that is, and That shouldn't even allow you join any form of solidarity strike. But the chairperson of the Rivers NLC, Bridges Tubo, says, workers, don't be cowed. Come out and let's do this march. We're going to rally from the NLC secretariat all the way to the River State Government House on Azikiwe Road here in Port Harcourt. My guest, Ajike Chude, should join me sometime before the show is over to just talk about some salient points. I know that the aviation unions, maybe one of them, said we're going to join the strike, but I've spoken with the person at the airport this morning, and he says they're expecting the flight to touch down. The flight should have touched down about now. If that flight does touch down, it means that indeed they are not joining the strike. And again, the elites, they're very concerned about the airport shutting down. Why? There's insecurity on the road. So they're not fixing the insecurity on the road. They're rather focusing on ensuring that the flights do not stop. By the way, some airlines are charging 100,000 naira one way now. A return ticket is 200,000, and I believe a fraction. And Ogbeviri is my name, 0817-923-0002. We'll come to you first, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009. This is the first time we've seen a concerted effort by Labour and other unions to join ASUU to raise their voices to see if they can prompt the government to do something. So do you think that today's and tomorrow's protest will yield any result, first of all? And then the ultimate one, would that lead to them calling off the strike? Because NLC is saying if they do not see prompt action on the part of the government to give action, see to ASUU's demand, and then there will be a nationwide strike. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009 are the numbers to call on. Twitter, we're at Nigeria Info PH, and WhatsApp 0809030646. Or do you think this is an exercise in futility that the government would not heed or do anything or shift grounds on the ASUU strike? And Maybe you're also one of those that believe that it's illegal. Why is NLC concerned about this when there are weightier matters like the new price of petrol, like the price of kerosene, like the price of diesel, like insecurity, you know? Let's talk. We're Nigerinfo. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009, on WhatsApp 0809030-6416. A correspondent on ground, one is at the NLC Secretariat, Emmanuel. I'll get to him in a bit as well to tell us what is going on there. Good morning. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Blessure from Alo.
All right.
This protest of the thing through NLC, see, it will not yield what we want. It's because of we are not sincere. All the nation needs to be shut down. To us now, if we are not following this right, definitely both the businessman, both the commercial motor, private motor, whoever be concerned. So far, you are citizens of this country and you are doing illegal things in the country. We need to follow them to this protest.
Are you going to join the protest,
every day by
Blessed?
We're leaving the Obasanjo regime. If there are going to be NLC protest,
Blessed,
no matter we move
Blessed
during that regime. And even though Adam Osomale was the president of NLC that time, if we want to negotiate with the president, he will go with horse. He will not even carry motor go. So that everybody will abide to the law.
Blessed,
now,
can you hear me?
What is happening? NLC wants to go strike because of ASU. Is it because of only ASU need to go strike for?
All right, so that's part of the things you must observe when you call into a radio station is a conversation. So he's saying transportation should be shut down, this and that and that and that. My only question to him was, where are you now? Are you going to join the protesters? And that conversation did not happen. Achikechide is trying to get my attention. Let's see. Daniel is in Transamadi. Daniel, then we go to Achike. Just have 7 minutes for the commercials. Daniel, good morning. You're on. Let's talk. Daniel?
Good morning.
Good morning.
For me, I think I really support labor to this 2 days warning to the federal government they should negotiate with us. If possible, I think it's not just even only them. I don't know what the student union is doing. They too have to join hands in this whole project. If possible, everybody, every meaningful Nigerian that loves education should join. So let us know if the federal government will hear. But the only labor, I am very skeptical with the kind of government of Nigeria, more like this current administration, that look like they don't care attitude in them. I am skeptical if they are going to listen. But the nation and everybody joining hands, whether they like it or not, they will listen. But let's see how they react for these 2 days process they want to go in. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Daniel, for calling. You're just joining us. We're Nigerian for Port Harcourt, and we're talking ASU strike, trying to see if indeed this action will prompt the federal government to do anything. We've got just about 6 minutes to talk to my guest, Achikechide, who's joined me via the phone from Lagos. Achike, good morning.
Yes, hello, good morning.
Yes, it's good to have you on. We just have about 5 minutes to do this on this side. Then after the commercials, we'll continue.
Okay.
Yes. Would you say that the federal government was the party that pushed this situation to where it is right now?
Yes, there are just too many issues that are related to the inaction or actions of the federal government. The government is absolutely responsible. If you look at the origin of what is going on, the fact that an agreement was in place, and it's not just an ASU thing, it has been the fashion of the government to enter into agreements and then not fulfill these agreements. But the question you ask is, why would they enter into an agreement voluntarily and then on their own unilaterally vitiate such agreements? When you have an issue, once you have made an agreement with somebody and there is a change, your ability to meet up with those agreements, you get in touch. That is what responsible people, responsible organizations and responsible governments do. You know, so unfortunately, what has happened in this particular matter. So the whole of the crisis that we're facing right now is as a result of the government not fulfilling its own part of the agreement. But beyond that is the fact that government has set up different committees. I think about two different committees. The last committee, is it the BRICS committee or so, also came up with recommendations which the government, now it was the government that set up this committee. And that the government, you know, the committee having come up with a resolution, you know, and they passed it on to the government. The government is frowning at it and they says it cannot implement this agreement. So all along the line, you have an ASUU that does not believe that these people are interested in education. Believe me, you know, that is the bottom line. These people are not interested in education. And the reason is obvious. And I want to make this point. There is a saying that it is where a man's treasure is, that is where his heart will be. The treasures of our political elites and our politicians are abroad. They are studying in other educational institutions, first-class educational institutions. So why would they be interested in what happens in Nigeria? The day you make it impossible for the elites and the politicians to send their children abroad, those people who hold government offices, and then you will realize that our educational system will work because they want the very best for their children. And so if they are forced to send their children to our schools in Nigeria, these schools will work.
Achike, there's a matter of NLC, you know, getting on this solidarity protest. Some people have said it is not necessary. The federal government says it's illegal. River State government is saying state civil servants, you can't join because our institutions, they're not on strike or they're not affected directly by this. Do you agree with them?
Of course, there's no way I will agree with it. It's a very funny thing. Let us even look at it this way. If for instance, a particular union, a specific union now, not the NLC, has an issue in Lagos, you know, with its members, with its employers, and it is something that affects the fortune of the employers nationwide, are you going to say that the branch, the chapters, the various state chapters should not show solidarity with the union in Lagos? For instance, if doctors are being victimized in a particular place and it gets to a particular level and people get into negotiations and they get into negotiations with the employers, are you saying that, and the employers, you know, show recalcitrance, are you saying that their colleagues should not show solidarity? What is the essence of having, you know, an organization made up of members, and when any of the members have problems, the other people pretend that it doesn't concern them? We can stretch the argument and say that what happens in Sokoto, the killings of Nigerians, the kidnapping of Nigerians in Abuja, you know, the train attack and the people that are kidnapped in those places do not concern us because we are here in the South. So what happens in the North is not our business. What happens to Nigerians in other parts of the country is not our business. That argument is not a valid argument. The NLC, the ASUU, is an affiliate member of NLC. There is a reason why they formed an umbrella, they are part of that umbrella organization. To say that the NLC would be impervious to what is happening to ASUU, then there is no basis for ASUU being involved with the NLC in the very first place. Besides, we are talking about the education of Nigeria. We are talking about educational institutions in Nigeria, not in Sokoto, not in Abuja, not in Anambra, not in River State. So it concerns everybody because all of these people that are educated will get into the national, you know, arena, and they're also going to play a part. If they're half-baked, it is going to have an impact on the economy of this country. It's going to have an impact on the politics of this country because education is the base on which you build every other thing, whether it is the healthcare sector, whether it is the transportation sector. Everything revolves around education.
Achike Chude, we'll get back to you in a bit. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Chat. Thank you for staying tuned. Trying to get in touch with our colleague on ground at the NLC Secretariat in D-Line area of Port Harcourt. I called him a while ago. Some music in the background said NLC has a big truck, you know. I think it's the same type they used during the last pensioners' protest or rally. Yeah, so he's going to get to, we're going to get to him and he will tell us exactly what's going on there. But I have a few messages. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the solidarity protest with ASU by the NLC. And if it's going to prompt government to take decisive action, you know, like getting schools back in and all that, meeting ASU's demand. Messages here. Abok Karibo says, ASU sympathy strike. Doomed is the nation that toys with the education of its citizens. The basic and most fundamental grounds on which every other facet of society must survive and thrive are the opportunity to and the ability to think and reason right. These can only come from proper and structured and widespread education. This, unfortunately, is not yet the case, and it's very disturbing to any right-thinking patriots. Everybody in this society should be concerned. Not enough groups and people are coming out in solidarity and support. It's everybody's problem. It is everybody's problem. Emmanuel, Madu Abuchi is on the phone from the NLC Secretariat. Good morning, Emmanuel.
Yeah, good morning.
What is the situation there now?
Yeah, there's heavy security presence here, and more of the NLC members are arriving, trying to assemble themselves before they can embark on the rally. So music is being played in the background to entertain the members that are here and the ones that are still coming.
So they are yet to take off from the secretariat?
Yeah, they are yet to kick off.
So Emmanuel, a few weeks ago, the secretariat was cordoned off by members of the NSCDC. What's the situation about that now?
Okay, the first told me that the NSCDC, that's the civil defense, they left here on the 17th of this month. Then on the 18th of this month, the police came to barricade the entrance to the NLC office in Rivers State. So at the moment, police officers are the ones in charge of the secretariat.
The police there, are they armed?
Yes, they are armed.
Were you able to speak to any of them about what the assignment is concerning the protesters?
They refused to speak to me, but from information I gathered at the scene here, they said, someone told me that the police were actually trying to prevent law and order, prevent the breakdown of law and order here.
Mm. Okay. Is Beatrice Itubo there? The NLC chairperson, is she on ground?
She's not on ground yet at the moment.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Emmanuel Madu Abuchi, for your time. So we move now to Achike Chude, who will join me via the phone. But messages on WhatsApp. Ogu Ojene Justice says, today's protest has certainly put NLC in a bad light of ineptitude. Price of goods and services skyrocketed. NLC did not go on strike. Pump price of petrol. NLC didn't go on strike. Insecurity. NLC didn't go on strike. So many unfriendly economic policies of government that puts us in a terrible hardship. NLC didn't go on strike. Shame on NLC. Mr. Achike Chude and Eno, good morning. I think the state government's position is hypocritical. If they are certain that ASU's grievance with federal government has cost Rivers indigenous here and other states and Rivers residents remain at home, doesn't it concern Rivers State NLC members? Then Governor Wike should explain to us how that a fire in a market in Sokoto State concerned Rivers State, that Governor Wike took money not even appropriated for the state in the state's budget and gave it to Sokoto State, okay, at that time. River State government, have something else on my screen. Okay, River State government is scared this rally can be a trigger for River State chapter of NLC to start revisiting issues of minimum wage, non-promotion of workers, payment of monthly, the months of salary of February and March 2016, gratuity for retirees, etc. The issue of ASU and FG seems to be discussed and analyzed on mere public sentiments and sympathy by almost any commentator. This one sounds like an ASU member. What specifically are the demands of ASU? Because the manner they are being paraphrased makes them appear speculative. You said ASU has agreed to shift ground on some of the demands. Please, how many of the demands have they shifted grounds on? So the document I have, Osu Deke did not mention, but he said there's some that they're willing to shift grounds. And your guest just mentioned that the BRICS committee made some recommendations. What are the recommendations? Okay. Achike, thank you for joining us. We have barely 10 minutes. And that's the, that's what it is. Yeah, so.
One of the major issues, following this negotiation has been the issue of using youth as a payment platform.
Yes.
Or using IPs. Mm. The World Bank, IMF recommended IPs as a payment platform. And and ASO argued from the very beginning that the use of IPs would have very serious consequences, negative consequences, because the university system is not run like a civil service. For the civil service, there are payment structures that are uniform everywhere. But for the university system is a completely different, ball game. Because you have all kinds of, allowances, like end allowances. Some of these things are accruable to lecturers for the jobs that have been done. You also have visiting lecturers from other parts of the world and all that. And then some of them also go on visitations to other schools and the rest. So to other, schools internationally and locally. So the structure of the university system is built in a way that is not accommodated by a payment platform that was recommended by World Bank. For the civil service structure, it is completely different. And the government insisted on doing that. First of all, the government told us, well, if that is the case, we challenge you to come up with something that is better, that will fit the university system, like you have said. And that's what went out, and brought their own people, and they sat down and came out with a payment platform, the UTAS. Now, again, the government insisted on using IPs. They were accusing ASU of all kinds of things as a result of their insistence on using IPs. And it was a disaster. The government, if they want to be very truthful about it, was a disaster. Because a lot of people within lecturers, some of them would get payments, some of them were paid above what they are supposed to be paid, some of them were not fully paid because of what ASU had told them was going to happen. And it is that same IPs, under that same IPs, that the accountant general was able to steal over 80 billion, naira. And so it was also a platform that is used, because it failed the test in so many instances. But the funny thing was that when the federal government subjected UTAS to test, UTAS scored about 97%. And this is not propaganda. In literally every test that was carried out, UTAS passed. And of course, that 97% is a pass mark any day. Now, they are also supposed to sort out all the difference in, 3% malfunction and all that, But the government came out and I have seen the document that was signed by NITDA, the government agency that was in charge of the testing for the UTAS. And I know that they passed most of the criteria under which it was subjected, to that test passed. So the government came up with a propaganda about how UTAS failed and so on. And ASO, that was what ASO called them out and said, but you people are lying because we have a signed statement by the various ministries, departments, especially NITDA that did the testing, and that it passed. So it's some of this propaganda that gives people the impression that the government is not very serious about settling these issues within the university system. And then there's the issue of the dilapidation of infrastructure. There was a needs assessment that was done even before this government. A needs assessment that talked about, that went into looking at wholesale, the university system as a whole in this country. And the result was very frightening, that this kind of university system cannot deliver on proper education of Nigerian youths.
Mm.
And so the government realized that there was the need to pump adequate money into the system. That was what led to that agreement, I think, in 2009, where they were supposed to give about 1.2 trillion naira over a period. They said they did not have the money, so ASU agreed that they should phase out the payments, in particular tranches. The government, again, failed to do that. And don't forget that even the African Union, apart from even the UNICEF mandate of a government committing about 21 to 25% of the revenue of their country to education, both the African Union and ECOWAS also came up with a benchmark for the funding of education, about 15% maximum, I mean minimum of the country's revenue. The Nigerian government has not been able to also meet up with that. You know, and so these are some of, and then the BRICS committee also, I mean, came up, and then they were looking at also the emoluments of the lecturers and so on. A situation where a counselor representing a political party is any more than a university professor. It cannot be obtained, cannot be tenable. It's not an indication of a country that wants to move forward. You know, and so a senator, go to some of these countries in the countries that want to emulate all the time, and find out how much politicians are earning, even the president of the country is earning, or the senators are earning. Lecturers, because they understand the value of education, are earning well, especially in university institutions, are earning fairly well because they understand the importance of education. So these are some of the issues that have been on ground that have led to the prolongation of this strike.
Mm.
The reality is that the little credibility, and of course the university system in Nigeria does not have the kind of credibility it used to have. We know the kind of graduates we used to produce in those days. We no longer have them, and people have been complaining about the quality of graduates that are produced from our universities. So you can imagine that the little credibility today that the university system has in this country is the credibility that was made possible by the series of ASUU strikes over the years. Otherwise, these people, because their children are not benefiting from the system, are ready for the university system to shut down permanently.
All right.
And that's why sometimes you want to ask your questions about how committed these people are to our country. I'm talking about the political elites, how committed. There's no country in Africa. Nigeria is not the worst. Let me just make this point. Nigeria is not the worst. There's no country in Africa or in West Africa where their educational institution at the tertiary education level have been shut down time and time again the way it has been happening. Go and find out how much they are committing to their education sector, and find out and juxtapose it with what the Nigerian government has done over the years to our educational system. And you realize that that of Nigeria is a far cry from what other West African countries are doing, not to talk of the rest of Africa.
There's no
commitment. All their children are not here. They are not schooling here.
Nigeria now sends students to Banana Republic, to Ghana, to Togo.
Togo. This is exactly what we're talking about. And you know, for people who want to accuse ASUU, but there's something that they're also forgetting. That ASUU, their children are here in our universities. So their own children, ASUU members, the lecturers, their own children are also at home. I have a friend that is at Obafemi, is a lecturer at Obafemi Awolowo University. His children are at home. They can't afford to send their children abroad. You can see why they're committed to advancing the interest of education in this country, because their own children will also benefit if we
things
have the right
are working.
In
okay.
an educational system.
All right, so we've got 3 minutes to go, Achike. NLC head of information is saying that if after today and tomorrow they don't see any positive results, that they're going to go on a nationwide protest or strike. Do you see that happening?
No, the government has an opportunity once more. You understand? So what is happening is just to put that extra pressure on the government and to show the government that we are all concerned about what is happening.
Yeah, so I'm asking, with the pressure...
This is not a total strike. It's a protest.
Mm.
So it's like a warning strike. The warning strike that ASUU gave several times to the government, and the government was not interested. So this is a warning action. It's just, rallies here and there. The country is not going to shut down. But we hope that the government will also realize that we're, entering very turbulent waters. And that if they do not respond appropriately, and then we're going to have a problem. The government, the president at this stage, and that's why the president himself has declared that his own government is not a responsible government with regards to this strike. Why do I say so? He has indicted his government already over this strike. Because before he came to power, the APC came to power, he was berating Jonathan's government, the PDP government of Goodluck Jonathan, and was saying that they were irresponsible. How can a responsible government allow the university system to shut down?
But
that
it's
the government that is irresponsible that allows that, and that, you know, and that's why I was talking about Kama and Nemesis are very active in this administration.
No, because
you see the same thing that happened, you know, that they condemned happening many times over in their own administration without them lifting a finger to do anything about it.
Okay. But the thing is, these strikes have gone on for at least 35 years.
That's why you still have a fairly credible university system in Nigeria. It is bad. I'm not saying we have a long way to go when it comes to upholding, proper education in our tertiary institutions. You can imagine if these strikes you are talking about have not gone on. Are we just talking about education? What of healthcare? What of health? Have you forgotten that doctors go on strike all the time? Because the government refuses to prioritize, because they themselves, the elites and so on, do not have any need of our health, you know, care infrastructure.
All right,
the president of Nigeria goes abroad. The presidential candidates of the political parties go abroad. How can you build a country like that?
We have to stop here. Thank you, Achikechide, for your time. Good morning.